Welcome to our second Sunday after Pentecost worship audio podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and our Saviour's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, of Minnesota. June 14, 2020, this is Pastor Olana. Today we begin the long green season of Sunday after Pentecost by acknowledging the apostolic ministry whereby the authority of Word of God is delivered to the world. Fundamental to faith in the Word is the understanding of our sin and the love of God for all. Through the Apostle Paul, from our pastor reading, we are given this understanding. Sin is an inherent disease from which no one is exempt as a descendant of Adam. Even greater, however, it is to understand and believe that forgiveness of sin and eternal life come to all who hear and believe the gospel call to repentance. By baptism, we receive forgiveness and the righteousness of Christ, our Savior. God's word continues to be proclaimed to this day. Thank God for the ministry and his ministers who open to us the way of saving faith. Join me for the confession of our sins and absolution. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your mercy for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My sisters and brothers, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth peace to men's forehead. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for our great glory. O Lord God, heavenly
God, you reign in eternal majesty and glory. We praise you for coming into our world through your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our bondage to sin. Give us your Holy Spirit, so that we would trust in your word and look to you as our Redeemer and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And kindle in them the fire of your love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and the 10th chapters. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like the sheep without the shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirit, to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simeon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon and Zealot, and Judah Iscariot, and who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and instructed them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay, acquiring no gold or silver or copper for your belt, no bags for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the lands of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I'm sending you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise and as serpent, innocent as doves. Be aware of men, for they will deliver you over to the court and flog you in your synagogues, and you will be dragged before the governors and kings for my sake, to be witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you." This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Yeah.
My sermon for this morning is based on our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 9 and 10. And especially, I will focus on the first few verses. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Matthew says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." This statement of Matthew about Jesus is very striking when it's read within the context of the story. In the preceding segment, we find out how the people of Gadarene town treated him, especially the healings of two demon-possessed men. When they witnessed his power over the devils, the town people asked Jesus to leave their city. It's possible that they feared his power, or maybe to avoid further suffering of the economic loss. Because on chapter 8, verse 32, we read, "When the demons get into the pigs drowned." Then Jesus left that city and came to his own town, according to chapter 9. But he was not well received there either too, though he healed the sick and welcomed sinners like Matthew. Pharisees questioned his association with the tax collector and sinners and declared he is devil's agent, not God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 44. However, this opposition and resistance to his ministry didn't divert him from his mission and his love for them, for the people of God. Even while they were resisting him, Jesus continued teaching through their towns, synagogues, and villages. In verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity." His compassion for them supersedes everything because he loved them. He loved them not in the condescending manner, nor sentimental way, but with a true and genuine God's love kindness for all people that embraces the undeserved, gracious, and sacrificial. Such kinds of love does not depend on others' action, nor in one's emotion or feeling, but will and choice. That is why he is able to see their real situation, apart from their actions and resistance to him. After all, he is the incarnate Son of God who knew their actual spiritual condition, that they are harassed and helpless, and that they lack the leadership to help. And he came among them not just to compassionately feel their pain and suffer with them, but as a God, as a good shepherd who lays down his life for his ravaged flocks and relieve them from the pain and misery of their suffering. When Matthew says he had compassion for them, that was what he was talking about. Jesus' compassion for his people was not just a sympathy that starts by feeling of others' suffering, but involved sacrificial action required to remove the pain itself. It's a compassion grounded in God's holy love for all his sinful people, which was demonstrated through the death and resurrection of Christ. The source of the pain and suffering of God's people in this text was not mentioned, but it's not difficult to imagine. During this time, like in our today's world, there was divergent social, political, and religious ideologies causing a lot of pain and misery for ordinary people. There was a massive disparity between people's livelihood. Violence, injustice, and destitution were common phenomena in the first century Galilee under Roman occupation. You can also infer these phenomena from the crowd that followed Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. When Jesus says they were harassed and helpless, he was directly speaking to the situation of the ordinary people daily harassed and mistreated by their leaders, their own sinful choices, or suffer under all sorts of disease and poverty. The Zen world is not much different from our world today in a sense of human suffering caused by injustice, grief, and abuse of power. The ongoing protest, the long-standing violence in most of our urban centers, the disparity between rich and poor, the racial bias that is tearing apart this nation and political polarization that is sickening most of us are few to name. Beside all this, what harass most is also rising addiction, breaking down of families, health crisis, and these days, the corona pandemic that is ravaging our community. From this morning text, there is one crucial thing we learn, on which we should focus as we try to make sense of whatever is going around us or in our life. Jesus, when he saw harassed and helpless people, his heart was stirred. He did not rush to judge, dismiss, or look away. His action did not end with mere sympathy for the agony of the crowd either. He called the disciples and instructed them to bring healing and restoration by giving them authority over unclean spirit to throw them out and cure every disease and every infirmity. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. In doing so, he demonstrated his holy love that he came among his people not only to suffer with but to bring healing and restoration to them, which he accomplished on the cross for all people on their behalf. The true God is a God that sees and acts. If you recall the story of Hagar in Genesis chapter 16, out of her personal experience, she called God in gratitude El Rohi, the God who sees. She was abandoned and mistreated, left wandering in a desert. While she was crying in desperation, if anyone cared about her or what would happen to her or her unborn infant, God sent to her an angel and assured her that she would not be forsaken. This morning, through this very gospel text, we are reassured that we are not unnoticed before God. He sees our bewilderment and helplessness. That is why he sent us his only son, to suffer with us, and to help us bear our burden, and to make us his holy people through faith in Christ. He sees us with the eyes of compassion and deliverance, not judgment. Christ has shown us this very compassion and love of God for us while we are still sinners, ungodly, and an enemy with God. By justifying us by his blood and reconciling us to God the Father. What a blessing. The same God is sending us his word this morning so that we will not fall away from faith in him in despair as we daily face the harassment of this sinful world. He does so not to desensitize us, numbing us from the world around us, the hurt and the misery we daily observe. Instead, he does so to empower us for daily confession of Christ's love with authority in word and deed, by overcoming the work of weakness through sacrificial love and practice of compassion. Through this very sacrament and word, he desires to draw us closer to himself and experience his love and forgiveness so that we can glorify him in our life. His ultimate purpose for us in this life is that we remain to be his instrument of blessings in all our relationship, that we may have genuine compassion for those who are helpless and harassed, to suffer with them, point them to the love and compassion of Christ through sacrificial service, especially at this time when things seem to be out of order. Yes, the sinful world is full of harassment, especially against God's people. There are a lot of hatred, misery, and confusion. Hence, we can easily give up and conform to the dominant value around us if we only look in ourselves. Nothing in us would equip us to stand against the world and the desire with dedication. We are forgiven, nonetheless, is still frail and sinful people. But that is not the only true statement about us. Jesus has given us his own authority to carry out the task of proclaiming the gospel in word and deed with the aid of the Holy Spirit. That is what matters. We are no longer lost sheep without the shepherd. That means we are not left to ourselves. We cannot do the actual work of compassion of ourselves. It is God himself who works through us and acts to fulfill his good purpose for all people, as respond to his call. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, let us fix our thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest, and continue to do God's work with compassion, godly wisdom, and humility. Amen. Join me for the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the world people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Creator and Redeemer, we praise your name in all our works of your creation, but especially for your work of redemption of the whole world through the saving sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Guide and govern your church throughout the world, that the glory of your righteousness may come to salvation of all. Lead us in the ways of truth, that we confess together the unity of faith before the whole world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. To all ministers of the gospel and the congregation committed to their care, grant the unity of your grace that they reflect your own image of mercy, grace, and unity, and please you in all things, Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Though there be many divisions between people in this sinful world, have mercy on all who are in the authority of government, that their service draw everyone to walk in accordance with your will and your commandments. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us by our reconciliation with you also to be reconciled with one another, that forgiveness and love prevails in our marriage, family, in our community, and especially as faithful disciples of Jesus in the church and our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, you have revealed your will that all should come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. In unity also with all those who have gone before us in saving faith, strengthen in us that living hope of resurrection and life of the world to come, that we live in faith and joy. To you, O God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, Holy Spirit, and one God forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. With this, we bring to the end our early streaming worship for this morning. May the Lord bless the rest of your days. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Dismiss us.